We're back with more Tapped Out with Brendan Tobin and Sean Levine on the BetQL Network.
Very excited to talk to our next guest, Miami's own Jorge Gamebred Masvidal. He is going to be boxing Nate Diaz June 1st live on pay-per-view. He's in the middle of a press tour. Now, Miami, he will be there Wednesday, Bayside at Pier 5. Well, Jorge, when's the last time Jorge Masvidal has been to Bayside? It's not typically a place Miamians go. It's very big, a tourist trap. It's been redone. When's the last time you perused Bayside?
Probably when I took my kids. I think that's the last memory I got. I took them out to do like some shopping or eating around there. But I think that's the last time I went there, maybe like 2-3 years ago with the kiddies. You know, as you said, it's not like a place where Miami is a lot usually go to, because we've been there since we were like little and stuff, you know. So, I mean, it's a cool mall. It's a cool spot. And for the Wayne, it's going to be sick with the backdrop and everything. But yeah, I don't go to Bayside too much.
They have refurbished it. I've been there for a few.
It's all packed, you know. It's just nonstop traffic, man.
Yeah, the traffic's crazy. But I will say it's a lot prettier now. Like, they redid the whole thing. I've been there before a couple Heat games now. So it should look cool.
When I was going, it was looking like not the greatest place. When I was chilling, bro.
How has this been, man? How has the tour been for this Nate fight? Have you enjoyed this whole lead up for this fight?
You know, the problem with me is that I get like in fight mode, so I just want to train, sleep, recover, train, and so it takes a lot to diffuse and for the dog to get, you know, his thing centered. You know, to do Zoom interviews and things like that is cool, but to like travel and actually like put my training secondhand and for an extended period of time, it's not like a day or two, it's for like a whole week, you know. Part of me is like, but you know, I understand the game. I'm here to sell pay-per-views. I'm not f-ing doing anything else but selling pay-per-views, so I gotta get the word out there. I'm fighting and I'm f-ing ready to compete and I'm in great shape, and I'm pissed off and I'm gonna f-ing hurt somebody now, somebody's Nate Diaz. So I understand that process very well, man. Do I want to be doing it? Nah, I'd rather be at home, eat some sushi, playing dominoes and shit like that, training, getting ready to go train, you know, shit like that.
What I felt like, because your BMF fight with him was so organic. You guys were both at like the heights. Everybody loved you. You guys just wanted to go there, square off. It feels like there's a little bit more hostility this time around. Why is that? Why do you feel like you want to pummel him even more this time?
Well, one, for starters, he tasted my foot, you know, and I heard people not liking that too much, you know. I didn't taste any of his shots, you know. I dropped him 3 times in the fight, and I busted his face up. So I get it, he was sour about that, but then he made comments he probably shouldn't have in my book, calling me a coward, calling me a quitter. Like, man, that shit bothered me, because I never said a damn thing about him, just praise and respect, which I still got a lot of praise and respect from everything he's done in the sport, the way he's carried himself, the type of fighter that he is. I have a lot of respect from, you know, but when you say those things, it's like, you don't got to do that, especially to call somebody like me a quitter when I've never in my life tapped. I got 50-something fights, I've never tapped. I've had the option to tap. You know, you could imagine how many times I've been in that scenario where somebody was close for the submission. I've never tapped. I've actually chose, I'd rather just go to sleep if I can't get out this bitch, rather than tap to another man. So for him to call me a quitter, I was like, man, you stupid, because you've actually tapped, motherfucker. You know, so no biggie, you know, we're just settling in the ring.
How have you enjoyed just training boxing? Has that been weird for you? I mean, you're a guy who, your kicks have always been a big part of the game. We know you have the famous knee, so is it refreshing to train something like this? Is it a little frustrating? How is just training with your hands?
You know, the abuse on your body that you take in MMA is like no other sport. There's not comparable. Not football, not any sport that you can think of, except maybe Muay Thai. There's no sport that really like encompasses MMA and the regiment that is involved in MMA to get you up to speed. It's just different, man. It takes a toll on your body. So no diss to the boxing, because the boxing is still incredibly tough and it's not really a game or sport. It's life or death in boxing. But the amount of wear and tear on the body is a lot less, you know? So I'm enjoying it, man. I'm enjoying the process. Out of all the martial arts, the one that's always come the most natural to me has always been the hands, you know, where I could always make leaps and bounds of improvements in boxing, whereas in like wrestling, jiu-jitsu and things like that, it had to take me a long, long time to really master and understand the principles of it, not just be able to do it, but like understand how it works, you know? So I've always felt that that I could transition well into boxing. And so far, I've transitioned amazing into the boxing for what my coaches expect from me and want out of me right now, what I've been giving them and showing them. You know, they're very happy with the progress. So I would say that you know, I can't say that it's been a great transition because I haven't competed yet, but for everything that's on the task sheet, I've accomplished it.
Jorge Masvidal is going to be fighting Nate Diaz live on pay-per-view June 1st. They will have their media tour hitting Bayside Wednesday. 6:30 is the press conference there. If you want to go see Miami Zone in person, square off with Nate Diaz before they get it on June 1st. I've been seeing some things perusing around the internet, Jorge. Are you getting the itch again to fight in UFC? Is that a possibility that, because, you know, you seem pretty content with retirement. You were doing your promotion game and all that with Game Bread. How close, or give me the percentage of what the chances are we would see Jorge Masvidal back in the UFC?
Very good. Part of the deal was that I go do these three boxing matches and I come back to the UFC and give him a fight, you know? So I don't know when that exactly will take place because I do have these three fights to do, and then we'll handle that. But MMA is like, I always knew even when I retired then, MMA is like the funnest thing I've done ever in my life. Uncomparable drugs, everything. Every experience I've had in life, MMA is just different. It's so unique and beautiful. And the preparation, getting ready for it, then the walkout, and then when you're in that cage, you know, I just love everything about the sport, you know. So I knew I had to come back. And more than anything, I had to come back and get a W. I can't leave an L. It's not me, you know. I'm not leaving an L. So I knew that I'd come back. You know, when this boxing opportunity came back, it just sped all that up. Like, yeah, I'm going to be back in there and in the best shape of my life when I return.
How much did that itch come from seeing UFC 299 down here, man? Because you brought it back after 20 years of not coming to Dade. Now this is like the spot, and that atmosphere was crazy. It was fun, but that doesn't happen without you doing it a year beforehand. So was there a part of you that missed it of not being on that card?
Yeah, big time, brother. You know, like, man. A big part of me was like, man, I wish I could have found this car. And the other big part of me was like, it wasn't meant to be, you know. Too many outside factors. I wasn't in the type of shape I should have been in to even consider taking a fight like that. So, you know, it was very conflicted. But I'll tell you what, hopefully I get the fight in the UFC, for the UFC in Miami some point in the future. I'm not putting a date on that, but I would just like to give my city a major, huge win, you know, the way they deserve it, you know.
Your guy Dustin Poirier, though, he put on a hell of a show on that night. I'm sure you weren't surprised by that performance, but, you know, Dustin doing what he's doing, when people were writing him off, that how crazy did you find that he was that big of an underdog, and then for him to go, you know, have a performance like that, just how impressed were you with him?
I just knew it. Like, I swear, you know, it's different because I'm like blood, sweat, and tears with these guys, you know? I'm not some fan of the sport that doesn't train with these guys and never met a machine. Like, I'm in there with these guys. I watch the preparation. I watch, you know, I assess him as like an athlete, his speed, his power, how he's doing with the young guys that we're bringing up to push him and stuff like that. And I'm just always rooting for these guys, rooting for Kayla, rooting for, we just went 7-0 between Friday and Saturday. No, it's, I blows my mind. 4-0 at UFC 300. The night before that was at PFL. 8-0. I'm sorry. 8-0. We just went, you know, that Bone Nickel. We had Armin. We had freaking Kayla. We had Moicano. Like, this is some numbers, man. This is crazy. They go 4-0 at UFC 300 when they're getting faced with the best opposition that they could possibly fight. And for us to come out on top like that, it just speaks of the team and what we got going down there. It's special, man. It's a very small club. It's not the easiest club to get into, but man, do we go to bat for each other, show up to work for each other, to push each other. And it's been like that since I started. And, you know, numerous other guys are carrying that torch now and that tradition, and it's not going to change. It's just going to keep attracting that same type of individual that likes that, you know, that wants to get after it and give it all you got. And if you don't win, doesn't matter. Then you come back on your shield, you know, because we're going for the jugular every time. And we bring those same type of characters out. You look at a lot of the qualities I have, it's the same qualities that Dustin has, that no quit in them at no time. Doesn't matter if we're winning or losing. If everybody in the world wrote me off, doesn't matter, you know. And I mean, I say it with a badge of honor. I'm so proud to be a part of American Top Team every time I get a chance to mention it.
What did you think that after Kayla's win, the GOAT, Amanda seemed like she got the itch to maybe square off with her one day. How do you think that would go?
Huge fan of Amanda as well, as everybody knows. I've always been cheering for her, preaching about her. I think she's an absolute beast, man. One of the best to ever do it. But it's such an interesting contrast, because as much as she's a beast on the feet, Kayla is a animal just wearing, she just happens to be a gorilla wearing clothing, you know. But she's another gorilla when it hits the ground, or even once they clinch up, you know, she's got devastating knees, elbows, and she could take just about any takedown in the planet, you know. Shout out also to Holly Holm, because for her to take Kayla like that at her, in her stage in her career, it's like, she's such a competitor, such a dog. I'm a huge Holly Holm fan as well. And if you ask me right now, because probably the next question is who I put my money on, right now I would put my money on Kayla, you know, to beat Amanda. I really think I've been telling everybody, when that girl comes over to the UFC, she's going to bust out through the division. And she is. She's just going to buzz out through the division. It's just going to happen. She's going to slice up everybody. Then her and Amanda are going to fight. And that's going to be the biggest fight in women's history, possibly, when that goes down.
I remember after Dustin beat Max Holloway for the interim championship, I got a chance to talk to you about that. And you were like, it's almost as good as a championship because he beat Max Holloway. So I know that's a guy you have a lot of respect for. What was your reaction to that ending that he had this past weekend? I mean, it took over the internet.
Not just the internet. Everybody at the arena just sucked their soul out. It just, man, Max is Max, bro. I mean, I got so much praise for that guy. Forget about this fight. Just Max. Win or lose on that fight, still one of my favorite fighters of all time. His spirit, his ability to keep getting better with the sport and growing with the sport. And then, you know, my favorite quality of Max, the dog in him, you know. And then he displayed it with 10 seconds to go up 4-1, you know. Doesn't need to prove or show anybody anything. And he goes, all right, let's gamble it up. Let's go. I'm going to let you get some shots. And come on, let's go. Let's find out right here, right now. And he does that. It's just a testament to what a gangster that motherfucker and how blessed he is, because he's truly an icon, a gem for our sport, man. I feel that this is one of the best fighters we have, and he's everybody's favorite fighter, and he's also fighters' favorite fighters, you know. So nothing but respect for Max, man, and to do it like that, you know. One BMF has the quickest knockout in history, and one BMF has the latest knockout in history, like 459. It's crazy, man. Like, literally, he hit him and the bell rung. It was the craziest shit ever, man.
Jorge Masvidal taking on Nate Diaz live on pay-per-view June 1st. Go buy it on pay-per-view. Miami, if you want to come out tonight at 6:30, it's going to be at the Bayside Marketplace, new Bayside. You'll see them square off as they get in their press tour on. It should be absolutely fantastic. What do you want to prove to yourself, Jorge, in this boxing match with Nate?
Prove to myself. I wouldn't say to myself, because I ain't got nothing to prove to myself, really. But just go out there and compete, you know. Put my mind, put my body, my spirit. Sorry, man. Long nights, early mornings.
I get you.
Just up in the right mindset to compete, you know, to do what I've done. And it's a process to get here. It just doesn't happen overnight. Hey, I want to fight, you know. There's a process from the physical side, from my team side, getting me ready, from all the deals that we have to do, all the stuff. It takes a lot, you know, but I love it to be on the stage. I love to compete. Boxing's the first sport I fell in love with. When I found it around 7-8 years old, I was like, what the f- is this? Loved it, you know, and then I was instantly warped into boxing. And then I discovered MMA a couple years later when I'm like 11, 12 years old. And then I fell in love with that, you know, so. And I pledged my life to it for the next 20 years. So I'm glad to be doing something like going into boxing now with all the skill, all the knowledge, all the experience that I have now. And it's against a great, formidable opponent that we happen to have some history with, that he thinks is unfinished, you know. So I don't mind knocking several birds down with one stone, you know. And your boy's getting handsomely rewarded for his talents as well, you know.
And well-deserved, man. All the best to you. Have a safe trip back down here and all over through your tour, man, and have a healthy camp, all right?
Yes, sir, and thank God, first and foremost, Jesus, for putting me in these situations to be able to take advantage of them. Thank you, all the listeners. Thank you, all the fans. Thank you, all the haters. And thank you, Dade County.
Jorge Masvidal, all the best, man. Take care.
Thank you, brother.